Radhika Jones, editor-in-chief of Vanity Fair. If you enjoy binge-watching the best TV shows and love hearing from the actors and showrunners who make them happen, then subscribe to Vanity Fair. Our Hollywood reporters take you behind the scenes of the year's most anticipated projects, the industry's biggest moves, and the hardest-fought awards races. From The Crown to The Real Housewives, we've got the inside scoop. As a special thank you to our still-watching audience, we're offering 15% off a yearly digital subscription to Vanity Fair. Visit vanityfair.com today and use promo code POD15. That's vanityfair.com, promo code POD15, for 15% off a yearly digital subscription to everything you want.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
AI is making waves in every field it touches. President Biden is now on TikTok, and the election draws closer each day. With so much going on in the world, it is hard to keep up with it all, let me tell you. Hi, I'm Kai Ryssdal, the co-host of Make Me Smart. It's a podcast from Marketplace. And every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I break down the latest in business and the economy with short daily episodes to make it easy for you to stay in the know. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
She is so cool. Like, even you would borrow clothes from her.
I would only borrow clothes from Rihanna on our honeymoon in Greece.
Hello, and welcome to Still Watching, a weekly television podcast from Vanity Fair. I'm Chris Murphy. This week, we're doing a special episode with a deep dive into the new Hulu show, The Other Black Girl.
Nella, come. There's someone you have to meet. Hazel, this is Nella. Nella, meet Hazel Mae McCall, my new assistant. Really?
The hit novel by Zakiya Dalila Harris is about an editorial assistant named Nella Rogers, who is the only Black woman working at a publishing house until a new assistant named Hazel arrives.
Is it weird of me to say that it's just really nice that you're here?
Girl, I get it. Yeah, now look, right back at you.
If you have any questions.
I have questions about all of it.
Soon, strange things start to happen, and Nella uncovers the disturbing truth about her employers at Wagner Books.
I just want you to have everything. All it takes is just one little compromise.
Little? This is some get-out shit!
All of the episodes have dropped on Hulu, so be warned, there will be spoilers ahead. I got a chance to talk to executive producers Jordan Redout and Gus Hickey. And a bit of fine print, this interview was coordinated with their personal representatives in accordance to the WGA strike rules. They are participating in this chat in their capacity as executive producers. Enjoy the conversation. Thanks for, coming on Still Watching, Gus and Jordan.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys.
I got to know, just because the book, The Other Black Girl, came out in 2021. It was like such a big deal. It sort of was everywhere like that. I can see the front cover in my head. How immediately did you know, oh, this should be a television show? Can you talk a little bit about the process in terms of your first introduction to the book?
Definitely. I read it when it came out and was very immediately attached to it and made sure everyone in my family read it and all my friends and was just sort of like shouting from the rooftops about it. And, you know, totally unconnected to this show at all, just as a fan, just because I really connected with Nella's story and her journey, and it really resonated for me. And then when we saw that they were making it into a TV show, Rashida Jones and Zakiya, we called our reps and we were like, whatever you have to do, whatever babies you have to sacrifice, like, get us on this show, please. Wow.
I mean, we turned down jobs.
We
turned down other jobs because we were waiting. We were
holding out
hope. To be We chose to be unemployed rather than miss the opportunity to work on this show.
That's true, we did.
Perhaps unwisely, but it worked out.
It worked out in the end.
And I guess adapting a book, too, that's got to be tricky in terms of, expanding it to 10 episodes, or maybe it isn't even about expanding it. I would love to know, like, did you feel like you had to sort of, like, blow open the story a little bit, or how closely did you adhere to the novel?
Yeah, I mean, I think we got really lucky that Zakiya and Rashida saw a lot of the same things that we saw in the book in terms of how it could become a television show. And luckily, we also got to work with them very closely. They wrote the pilot episode. Zakiya was in the room. And we had anything that we wanted to add or expand upon in the book. It was really great to look in the Zoom box and look at Zakiya and be like, can we do this? and she was like, yes, of course you can. Sometimes the ideas were bad, I'm sure, but she was very collaborative, very willing to change things. And specifically, like on one of the very first days of the room, she came in and she was like, I just want everyone to know that like, I am not Nella. I am not that character. You can say things, you can make her do things, and you don't have to worry about like offending me or thinking that you're talking about me, and I am divorcing myself from this person. So she was just the perfect collaborator.
Both of them, I think, were very important to the process, and having Zakiya there, like he said, was great. But also Rashida, I think, like, you know, she, first of all, she's Rashida Jones. She knows music very well. And so a lot of the really cool music choices that I've seen actually like spotlighted in a lot of the reviews are Rashida choices. And she had a very strong point of view on the music. And she also just, she's very smart. She's very smart. And she knows, and she's been in this industry a long time. And she had a lot of, it's hard to even know how to describe the ideas that she brought to the table. There's like one really fantastic sequence at the opening of episode 7 that is hers. That's really her sequence that she discovered in post-production. It was just such an amazing thing to watch come together. And it's so exciting to have collaborators like that, because we've been on shows that are based on IP, shows that existed and shows that didn't ever make it to air. And it can be very difficult to work with creators who are not open, who are not collaborative. And it can be a very painful process for everyone involved. And this was truly the opposite of that.
Oh, that's so lovely to hear as a big Rashida Jones fan. So we'd love to hear that people are as lovely as they seem. Yeah. I do want to sort of, I know you mentioned episode 7. I want to sort of talk a little bit about Nella's arc and how the show, I have to say, I haven't read the book yet. Now I definitely really want to read the book. So I went in not really knowing exactly where it was going to go. And I will say the arc from where it starts, Nella's arc, working at publishing and being, basically the only black woman at her office, which is something I have definitely related to from school to jobs and whatnot. It was definitely an experience that I know a lot about. To then we get to like sort of a completely different territory by the end of the season in terms of getting more into the thriller of it all. Mm-hmm. How did you sort of map out sort of like the tonal shifts and getting us from point A to point B? Because it really does sort of swing like a pendulum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Carefully, very, very carefully, and with much revision. it took a lot. I mean, it took a lot to map it all out. Thank God we had the blueprint of the book to go from. I mean, we did deviate from it, but we used the wonderful brains in our writer's room and milked them for all they were worth. And really tried to balance. It was very important to us to never lose the comedic side of things. You know, we come from a comedy background, and we also just sort of like philosophically believe that stories that are very, very painful need some humor to elevate them. And we also just like have always told stories about outsiders and are outsiders ourselves as a Black woman and a gay man. And so we, our philosophy, sort of like our way of looking at the world, is that things are very heavy. Things can feel very tragic. And so you have to laugh. You have to laugh or you're going to cry. And so that was very important to us to remember throughout this, the process of making this show, that Nella's story, Hazel's story, the entire arc of the show could feel, and I think does feel sometimes, very heavy. But because it is, because it's an intense subject matter. But we really tried to balance that out with the humor, because I think that is certainly my reality, that even on my saddest days, I have laughed at something, you know? So that was really sort of like one of the guiding principles tonally for us.
You can totally feel that. I mean, the humor, it does stay with throughout the whole entire series. I mean, Malaika's so funny. Nella's so funny. The casting, really, to nail these different characters, it's sort of crucial to believe that, you know, Hazel is as fabulous as, just as cool as possible.
Yeah.
It's really important to the story. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, finding the actors and sort of working, how much did you work with the actors in terms of crafting their performance? Obviously, there are directors and, you know, people that are more hands-on, but I'm always interested in how executive producers, how much they're really, you know, they're creatively involved necessarily in casting and the acting aspect of it.
Oh yeah. I mean, we were there for all of it. We were in every casting session we saw a lot of very, very talented actors, and it was just sort of undeniable with Ashley and with Sinclair that it was like, oh, yeah.
Okay. And Brittany. And Brittany.
I mean, yeah, of course. And I mean, Bellamy, I mean, I think everybody. And it was just sort of very, very clear. And they brought things to it that we didn't even expect and we didn't even see. And I think Ashley's warmth and Ashley's humanity was something that we were so happy with and so surprised by, because then you can really get onto Hazel's side, and you really want, in this show, you really want to question, not only for the purposes of the plot, like, is what's going on with this woman, but you also, you don't want everybody to be a mustache twirling villain and an angel. Like, you want
nuance.
Nella's going to make mistakes. Hazel's going to do good things. Everyone's going to make choices, and everyone's going to make sacrifices. And I think that that's sort of what the show is about in the grand scheme of things. But I think that the actors, we got so lucky, and
they're also nice. They're also like, oh yeah.
So nice.
They were also, I mean, very like professional and very hardworking. And it felt like I keep saying collaborative, my God, but really that is the word to describe this show. I mean, they brought so much to their characters that I think that made it all the way to the final edit. And I think, you know, Ashley in particular, because of her warmth and because of, like, she's just like a nice person. She's like a sweet person. And I think that she opened our eyes to the possibility that Hazel really does want to be friends with Nella, you know, because, spoiler alert for the book, that's not really how she is in the book. And so we shifted that a little bit.
Are there other things that you specifically remember shifting, and what was the purpose? Why did you make that decision? I mean, it makes a lot of sense, because you sort of like, oh, you want to be friends with Hazel.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah, we wanted to be friends with her.
Yeah, literally, I was like, oh my God, I wish I had Hazel in my office. And then when it turns, that fear and that the turn is really, it's more shocking and it's more emotionally arresting, I think, because of that.
Yeah, I think for us, the main thing in terms of if we changed anything from the book, our main question that we wanted to ask with the show is, how much of yourself are you willing to sacrifice in order to succeed, specifically in corporate America? And every character on the show answers that question differently. And because it is, there is no right answer and there's no wrong answer. And well, I mean, maybe there's a wrong answer if you watch the whole show. If you watch the entire show, maybe there's a wrong answer. But you want to understand where everyone's coming from when they make that choice. And I think luckily with a television show versus a book, you can go into other characters' perspectives. So I think that the thing that we probably changed the most was that you see more of Malaika, you see more of Hazel, you see more of Diana. And I think that you kind of get this more rounded understanding of what the horror of the workplace is really about. And just by virtue of the fact that we get so much time on a television show that you don't get in a book.
I love that you just use the phrase horror of the workplace, just because, you know, and I love my job. I love all my colleagues. And I'm not talking about this specific workplace, but sometimes...
No, not this one. This one's perfect.
This one's perfect, but there are workplaces that are horrific places or can feel like you're living in a horror film.
Yeah, we've been in them.
Doing the office chit-chat. And that, even just, you know, watching Nella navigate that as, you know, as a Black woman, you know, and having to, you know, the constant microaggressions from... You know, everyone from Maisie to you know, Vera to the hilarious office friend.
Oh, Sophie.
Did you read that piece I sent?
The token in the corporate machine being Black in a white workplace.
Did you read it?
In the last 30 seconds?
It is such an important topic.
Full shout out to Kate Owens, who was just... astounding.
Amazing.
In that part. She was, anytime we could use her, we were like, we've got to have Sophie. We got to bring Sophie back.
Bring Sophie back and her bad cookies. Bring them back.
Yes.
But it, just adding, so having that as a baseline of like the workplace being, you know, sometimes horror show, and then adding actual horror elements. Mm-hmm. And I think you were talking about the music cues before. I mean, the tension of, you know, Nella walking through the workplace and the lights going one by one by one, and and the you know, the soundtrack underneath. Yeah, how much did you want to lean into it? You know, going like full Get Out like horror story, or letting it grow and build as the season goes on, which I think is what happens. It starts as just, okay, work sucks, but then it gets more and more and more intense. It escalates from there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think, you know, we wanted to be strategic with where things were really heightened and where things leaned more sort of like supernatural versus where they were more grounded. And I think it really hopefully follows Nella's emotional reactions, you know, and what she, when she's feeling the most sort of stressed or oppressed, and those moments are supposed to follow like her emotional mental state.
Yeah, and shout out to Emily Sankofa, who's our brilliant composer, who did such a wonderful job, and it's such a unique sound that we were so happy that it doesn't, at least to us, it doesn't really sound like another television show that we've heard the score for. We were like, wow, this is so special to this show, and it does every genre we need. And I think also just giving more credit to Zakiya, because her brilliant concept of like, when you, for so many people, for so many marginalized people, the workplace can feel like you're in a horror movie. But the main thing about that is like, you're like, is this all in my head? Is this all fucking in my head? Am I imagining this?
Am I the crazy?
Am I the only person who sees this? Like, that was fucking crazy. Am I the only person who noticed that? And then for Zakiya to be like, well, what if that is true? What if it actually is a horror story? And that it was so fun, and it's just such a brilliant idea.
Still Watching will be back in just a moment. And when we return, more with the other Black girls, executive producers Jordan Redout and Gus Hickey.
I'm Rachel Martin. You probably know how interview podcasts with famous people usually go. There's a host, a guest, and a light Q&A. But on Wildcard, we have ripped up the typical script. It's a new podcast from NPR where I invite actors, artists, and comedians to play a game using a special deck of cards to talk about some of life's biggest questions. Listen to Wildcard wherever you get your podcasts, only from NPR.
Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards credit card. You can earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply. Something that I loved about the show, and maybe this is a hot take, but I don't think it's a hot take. It's so great to see so many like sort of different variations of, you know, Black womanhood, and to see some, not to be spoilery, but some evil Black female characters to let them go full villain mode instead of, you know, we constantly have this trope of, you know, the wise Black female therapist or, you know, the caretaker, someone who's there to support, and then to put, you know, Black female characters at the center and also have them be complicated and sometimes unlikable and sometimes do absolutely crazy things. I found that to be really thrilling.
No, thank you. It was very intentional. It was very, very intentional. I mean, our writer's room was, 90% Black women? It was like all Black women, Gus, and one white woman. And And so it was like, Gus was our lone man, our lone white man. And, you know, we're all different. Surprise. We are not a monolith. And so it was very exciting to be able to take the experiences of all these different Black women in the writer's room and then put them in the show in the form of these various Black female characters. And I think it was also exactly like you said, it was very important to us to show some messiness, to show some imperfect Black women, because there is so much pressure to be a perfect Black woman. But it was just a very, I mean, I think it was a cathartic exercise for a lot of us. And I think in particular that, you know, we keep referring to episode 7, the hair party was like, you know, in the first weeks of the room, we went around and we talked about what were some key elements from the book that we needed to maintain in this adaptation. And the hair party was a resounding answer. It was just, everybody was like, we must see that scene. And I think it's one of my favorite episodes because you really get this sense. Not only is it, you get all of these different Black women and all of their different perspectives, but I think it has one of my favorite scenes in it, which is that, not to be too spoilery, but it has that bathroom scene with Malaika and Nella.
Okay, I'm sorry that I don't sit around at a desk and send emails that say, let's circle back on this. I'm sorry. Just because those girls went to fancy schools and had fancy jobs doesn't mean they understand you better than I do. You can always be yourself around me. Always.
Which is really about class and why is Malaika not on their radar, but Nella is, you know? And so that was another thing that we were thrilled to be able to have a conversation about that I have never seen in a movie or TV show.
Yeah. And to your earlier question about like what drew us to the book, part of it was the fact that like, oh, there's so many Black female characters to explore, including the ones that do some awful things, and that is so, and that is so fun. And I know that the actors who got to play those roles were also very excited to play those roles because it was something unique and special.
Is there a particular sequence or episode or scene that stands out to you as your favorite? And then also, I would love to know your favorite sequence, but then also one that was very difficult to shoot. Was there something that was really hard to shoot?
Well, I can actually answer the difficult one first because difficult isn't totally the right word, but very important was all of episode 9. Episode 9 was just such a was a labor of love from us and from Zakiya and from Ashley. And I think, you know, Ashley really wanted to do it justice, and really it was very important to her. And it was also directed by Mariama Diallo, who also did our pilot and or first episode, I should say. And she, that like creative meeting of the minds, I don't know why I'm naming this as difficult, but I just remember it to be one that everyone really wanted to get right. And I think we made something really beautiful in the end. But I just like those few days on set of shooting that episode were some of my favorite days from the whole season, because it was so clear how much it mattered to everybody.
Totally. And I in addition to the Malaika Nella scene in the bathroom when they have this conversation about like, just because these people are of the same class as you doesn't mean that they understand you more than I understand you. That's like, I love that scene. But I will also say to 109, one of my favorite things that we kind of had to fight to keep is there's a joke at the end of 109 after this like incredibly serious episode that is like very meaningful and very well made, and Ashley acts the hell out of this fucking episode. And then Eric McCormick has this like very stupid joke at the end. And it, to me, it was like, this is so important to keep, because here is this thing, I don't want to spoil it, but it's like, here is this thing that has been revealed.
It's a very emotional episode too.
This very emotional thing has been revealed, and you know the truth about these people now. And then you also see that like, oh my God, this is ridiculous. This person is also, this person is also ridiculous, even though I'm spoiling everything, so I'm just gonna stop talking.
No, but it's great. And now people know to look out for that joke, because it really does. It does. You're not expecting to sort of be in a laughing place by the time you reach that point of the episode. And then when it hits, it really hits. Thinking about some of the characters. So I have to admit, obviously I'm a big Real Housewives of Beverly Hills fan. So to have Garcelle acting, you know, in your television show is so fantastic. I do wonder, were there cameras on set to film Garcelle? Was like a meta moment of like, you know, she's on set doing the other black girl, and then you got the Real Housewives cameras.
That's hilarious.
Did that ever happen?
It did not. I'm sad to say. I'm so sorry.
We didn't have any overlap. Yeah. But I will say, Garcelle is booked and busy. Garcelle was coming from a movie that she had just produced and starred in, and then she was leaving immediately to go to do Real Housewives. So she was that woman works, and she works hard, and she is great. We love Garcelle.
She's, again, I keep saying everybody was nice and professional, but because Garcelle is another person who was really nice and really professional and is just like a normal person, is very grounded and like very easy to talk to, and wanted to talk about her character, and loved all of her delicious moments of like anytime she got to be a little like messy or evil, Garcelle was living for it. She did such a great job with it.
It ends on a little bit of a cliffhanger. It's not fully resolved. Does that mean there is a hope for, you know, potentially a second season, or is too soon to tell?
There is a hope. There is a hope for sure. I mean, I think, you know, you haven't read the book, but you know, the book and the show have two different twists at the end. And so part of what that ending is we were seeking something. We were really trying to like arc out Nella for this season. And we thought that the way that the show ends is a more rounded way for that character to end this arc that we tell in the show. And so, but it also is a way to continue to tell stories and for her in a second season, and gives her a whole new game that she has to play and a whole new tightrope she has to walk. And then of course there would be, if there was a season two, a new mystery as well.
Yes. And, you know, if the AMPTP decides to pay writers and actors. Perhaps there will be a season two, but that will have to happen first, AMPTP. Thank you very much.
They will have to do that first. Yeah. Actually, that is very true. There's one big sort of roadblock in the way as of now. That is true. I'm hopeful. I thought it was so great and so fun and really,
you know,
excellent. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
So that's it for this episode of Still Watching. Please send us your questions, concerns, comments, feelings of injustice. Email us at stillwatchingpod@gmail.com or find me on social media at Christress. This has been Still Watching from Vanity Fair. Our producer is Emily Elias, and we had production help from Peyton Hayes. We had technical assistance from Gintis Norvilla. Stephen Valentino is our executive producer. Our theme music is by Alexis Quadrado. We'll be back next Thursday with a new episode. Looking forward to seeing you then.
Hey, I'm Brian Stelter, host of Inside the Hive from Vanity Fair. This week, with the help of Dan Adler and Olivia Nuzzi, we're going inside the media circus swirling around Donald Trump's criminal trial.
People want coverage of Donald Trump. There are sort of shades of 2015, 2016. I found it to be a total break from the reaction to a lot of Trump coverage in the last 2 years.
Join me, Brian Stelter, on Inside the Hive from Vanity Fair. Listen wherever you get podcasts.